Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Good morning, and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Glad to have you in today on this Hoodwink Tuesday. The big headline, Cap, from yesterday is Tony La Russa, TLR, has stepped down as manager for the Chicago White Sox. I'm sorry that Tony's going through his health issues because he will always have a soft spot for me because I remember him as the first manager for the White Sox. But this time around, Cap, it just did not work out. It was lackluster, and it was a team that should be going places, and all it is right now is going home. 80-80 after 93-69 of the playoffs last year. 80-80 is completely unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Had they all been on the same page, Kenny, Rick, and Jerry, and they said, we're going to take a shot at this. It didn't work. Just the whole thing was, it never felt right.
Don't you know how scary that does feel, though, for a White Sox fan? As a Cup fan, you know what this feels like. You get to the playoffs, but you don't want to go backwards. If you stay in the same spot where you get to the playoffs and get bounced, okay, at least you got to the postseason. But in this situation with this roster should be vying for a long playoff run. And not to say that the window is closed, Cap, but it's been such a frustrating year. Frustrating all season to watch a team and just waiting on the run. You're sitting in the Hood Cave like I am. I'm just waiting for this team to break out. Give me a 5 or 6 game winning streak when it matters.
Never came.
Give me 9 out of 10. Give me the Braves, what we saw last year. And it never came. It never happened.
Never happened. And then they didn't do anything. Now, did they not do anything because Rick was told he couldn't? Did they not do anything because Rick decided this team's no good and I'm not going to squander prospect? I don't know the answers to that, and I don't know if we ever will.
Well, I could just ponder, and I could give you an educated guess, that he might have picked up the phone to try to pick up some guys. He's got to go through Kenny Williams and Jerry Reinsdorf, and rightfully so. It's a collaborative effort. I get that. But I don't care about that. I care about the results. And the results is that he stood there after the train deadline and tried to sock-splain his way through it. And what I saw was nothing. I did not see upgrades on this team.
Now again,
where was it?
Again, he may have looked at the team and possibly is right. Hey, man, this is not working. There's going to be change coming. I'm not trading Andrew Vaughn for some short-term fix. I'm not moving. Pick the prospect, Colson Montgomery or any of these dudes, Oscar Cole. I'm not doing it. And I praise him for having the willingness to not include big-time players. That said, you better use that capital this offseason.
Yeah, you have to look at this team, a long look at this team, and say, where are we short? The pitching, questions about Giolito. Is he going to be in a Sox uniform in 2023?
I don't know. They got 1 year of control left. 1 year. He turned a $50 million four-year extension down. I don't think they would give him that again at this point, unless he improves. So if you don't sign him and you don't trade him, you got a Wilson Contreras situation. You're going to trade him at the deadline if you're out of the race. And if you're in the race and you need him, but he wants to test free agency, you're going to get nothing for him except a compensation pick, which you'll find out if they're any good 4 or 5 years down the road.
Got to find a right fielder here in the offseason?
Have to.
Going to find a second baseman in the offseason? I know that the old thing is like, it's a second baseman. Throw him in the ninth hole.
And I'd just put Elvis Andrus there.
Well, I mean, someone that can give you a little energy, that's for sure.
Correct.
Like, what are you going to do at third base? You got nothing offensively at third. At least not enough for me. At least not the expectations that I saw for the White Sox. You know, you got a guy floundering out there in left field who should be a DH. Young guy, but that's a DH in left more so than a left fielder. It just is. You got a lot of questions, man. You have and the other thing, too, that's not Tony La Russa's fault is, and where was the power? A power outage with this lineup?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Brother,
in that ballpark.
I'm seeing 1984 power numbers from the White Sox. Remember when it was a celebration when someone hit a home run in the 80s? Like, wow, his 19th, and it was in September.
But with this big collection of athletes, the Abreus, the Jimenez, the Luis Roberts, T.A., where is the Moncada? Where did the home run ball go? A lot of questions.
And the moves that you made, like getting Joe Kelly on this team, that falls on Rick Hahn. He came in injured. Shaky bastard. Now, you can never depend on him when you needed
you
that right hand.
Shaky bastard.
When you needed a right-handed arm, he just was not there.
Correct.
Enough.
Correct.
It's not just for all the good on this team, like Liam Hendricks and Robert when he's healthy, and Abreu's leadership. You know, when you get this from Cueto was outstanding out of nowhere.
Dylan Cease was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
I'm a Josh Harrison guy. He's not the greatest player, but boy, that guy plays hard.
That's why God made bench players.
Right.
He can't be in my lineup every day. He's a 50-50 ball player. I saw that this year. Some spectacular plays. And other plays, the fundamental plays, he just fumbles the ball. Or bad base running or something like that. I can't have that. That's the problem with this team. It's too many question marks or too many negatives on the team for me to think that they can get to the next level. They've got to look at this roster. Some thoughts now from Tony La Russa, talking about on fans and ending it this way.
A great example of this support came in Game 3 of last year's Division Series. No disrespect intended to any of my other teams and their fans, but that night it was the most electric crowd I personally have ever experienced. Those are White Sox fans. What I would add, for those of you that remember 1983, the night we won the division with Harold's sacrifice fly, it's not like it is now. Fans jumped the fences and ran on the field. So we had this amazing experience where we were all celebrating. Fans were all around us, congratulating, hugging. I mean, I'll never forget it. You can't do that anymore. So I think about the fans in 83 and 2021 game three, and that's why I say I could never be disappointed or upset with our White Sox fan. Just have to understand. Play as hard as you can, as good as you can. And here's the last part. Because of what I said, you take the good of 2021, mistakes of 2022, you analyze them, you figure out how to get better. So I write, I am sincerely disappointed that I'm leaving without the opportunity to finish what I was brought in to do. I was fortunate the early White Sox, St. Louis and Oakland, that it was a happy ending. I do not like this one, but the health is more important. But I will always appreciate the chance to come back home to the White Sox and leave a day with many more good memories than disappointment. That opportunity in 2021 is the latest example. I've said many times, no manager in the history of the game has ever had more good fortune than I have.
The game passed him by, Cap. I mean, as much as you told us from your inside sources that the players respected TLR and that's not a problem.
They were all there at the press conference yesterday. That was pretty cool to see the entire back wall was every player there. And Rick talked about that.
The game passed him by, Cap.
I don't know if the game passed him by. It's just physically, he couldn't. He just wasn't the same guy anymore.
That's what I mean. I mean that's all encompassing. The mistakes, and every manager makes a mistake, but some of them were just egregious, like head scratching decisions that he made. And just as you mentioned, he wasn't A's La Russa, wasn't St. Louis La Russa. I thought at the time, is he really ready to manage? And then I thought when we were talking about it, you know what? Here's a Hall of Fame manager. Who am I to say that a Hall of Fame manager can't get this team right? It's the first time in his career he's got a carte blanche, a team ready to win. He had to rebuild that A's and St. Louis team. Those teams weren't ready to win.
Correct.
But this team was ready, and everybody from Rick to Kenny to La Russa to the players dropped the ball and grossly underachieved. That's what happened.
No question about it. It's a dismal failure of a season.
I want to hear from Rick Hahn as well. He had a lot of things to say, as he always does, right? Didn't you find it interesting? So the year-end press conference was yesterday, and so when the season ends, no Rick. We don't hear from him until San Diego.
That was your season ending.
No more then after this.
What are you going to ask him that he wasn't asked yesterday? He talked about players. He talked about Tony. He talked about the search.
Well, I want him on here. I have more questions. I want him on this show.
Let's put the request in.
You asked me. I think you and I have plenty of more questions to ask Rick Hahn, don't we? It was covered well, but I mean, I still want to hear it from him on this show.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, before he goes to the winter meetings, I'd like to have one last chat.
One last bite at the apple.
Sure.
Didn't Jerry say to Sylvie and to Carmen,
yes,
that's your last bite at the apple?
That's your last bite at the apple. You won't get me out again. Get out of here, Silverman. Bastard.
Some thoughts now from Rick Hahn, talking about a number of things, including how he shared his frustrations over seasons.
I don't think I'm talking out of school when Jerry, Kenny, and I all talked about a couple hours ago about this being our most disappointing season of each of our careers. Jerry made reference to 84, going from 99 wins to 75 or something that year as being sort of shocking.
Bless you.
Obviously, we've had other years where you haven't quite met expectations. And we might be a little close to the forest to see the trees right now, given where we sit in this season and the frustration that it created. But look, this is going to have an effect. Like, this is going to have an impact on people, and this is not a feeling that any of us want to experience again.
Listening on the ESPN Chicago app in Nashville, Tennessee, here's George on ESPN 1000. Hey, morning, George.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What up, George?
I just want to find out from you guys, are you guys as sick and tired of Yoan Moncada as I am? Now, I know he's still relatively young. He's only 27, but I am really tired of hearing about his potential. I watched the game last night, and I watched him strike out three times last night. And one of the things that's really bothering me is that, and again, it's probably part of his personality, he doesn't show a lot of expression.
No.
He's been a good defensive third baseman. But I'm telling you, at the plate, he is just atrocious. And I'm wondering whether or not we should give up on him at this point. I, for one, and I'm a diehard Sox fan, I, for one, am sick and tired of his potential. And I really want him gone from this team next year.
The problem, George, is you're going to be selling very, very low. And so you're not going to get back what you would like to get back. So that is a problem, A. B, they didn't want Yoan Moncada in the Chris Sale deal.
Correct.
They wanted Rafael Devers. And the Red Sox said, we have no deal then. We're not giving you Devers. We're not giving you Xander Bogaerts. You're either getting Moncada. We'll throw in Kopech and whoever the hell the other guy was. But you're not getting the other guys. So they had to settle for Moncada. Moncada has been a dismal disappointment.
Kopech back next year?
Yes, 100%. He makes no money. You control him, and he's got elite stuff. And again, you'd be selling low.
Finally gets that knee worked on, that bulky knee he's had an issue with.
Yes.
You know, if it wasn't for the Kopech being in that deal, the Red Sox actually stole the trade. If it wasn't for Kopech.
They won a World Series with
Sale.
With Sale.
Mm-hmm.
They won a World Series with him. They paid him a lot of money, but they won a World Series. So the trade, from their perspective, a winner.
I want to get your thoughts on the White Sox. 312-332-3776 is TLR has retired, or actually has stepped down. I don't think he's managing again. I know Jesse asked a question.
He didn't say, I'll never manage again. He just said, I've got health things I've got to take care of. One is more longer term. It did not sound like it was pacemaker related. The other one is.
My hope is that he has a clean bill of health. I'm not happy with the White Sox season, but I'm hoping the best for Tony in his recovery.
Yes.
And what he's going through.
Correct.
That's fair?
God bless.
That's how I feel. And
he's a good man.
And more than likely, when he gets his clean bill of health, next manager of the Marlins. All right, we will hear from we will do worse weekends. Jesse Rogers on the Sox and the surging Cubs, all part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood. How about that?
Cap and Jay Hood mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness. for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap and J-Hood.
Because we have a very busy Bears Monday, that's why we have our worst weekends on Tuesday. Still to come on Cap and J-Hood, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers baseball for ESPN.com. But we'll put on the poll at ESPN 1000 at the worst weekends. Here is Jake Cantu. JC?
All righty. I got a little bit more energy in me.
We'll see.
All right. Let's start in Wisconsin. Paul Chryst was fired by the Wisconsin Badgers.
Jesus.
After
Go ahead.
The Fighting Illini beat them 34-10. Mm-hmm. He has over 67 wins in Wisconsin, third all time. And, yeah, he was kicked to the curb, having to pay out a reduced buyout of $11 million before February 1st, 2023.
You know what? It's programs like Wisconsin. Merck, come on down here if you want to fight me on this. Programs like Wisconsin, programs like Nebraska, Cap, Notre Dame, that believe that it's the 80s. Can I just tell you something? You're not getting back up there on the horse again. Stop. You can't. Can you do better than Paul Chryst? Can you, just because you lost against Illinois?
Urban.
Well, sure, if you want your banner snatched.
Listen to Paul Chryst's records. He got there in 2015. 10-3, 11-3, 13-1, 8-5, 10-4, 4-3 in a pandemic season, 9-4.
Who do you, can I ask you a question?
Who do they think they are? And his bowl record, win, 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 loss, win, win. Dude, he's 6-1 in bowl games. It's Wisconsin. I know Randy Merkin's an alum of there, but they got their nose up in the air like they're some big thing.
Stop.
You're Wisconsin.
Man, I would be thrilled to have that record for my football team if I'm a Wisconsin fan.
Correct.
You got a great atmosphere. You got to jump around. People talk about Madison all the time. Look, you know what you are not? You're not Ohio State.
And you never will be.
But you'll have a nice bowl game, though, and you will be competitive. Will you not?
That's amazing.
You're mad because your former coach beat you? Stop.
He beat the crap out of
me. I understand.
I watched that game.
But don't.
Wow.
But alums, don't be mad. Like, oh, this Bielema and his checkered past comes back and comes to Madison and beat us. You know what, Chryst? It's your fault you're fired. Seriously? Now, if it's not Urban, what are you like, Leipold? Who are you going to bring in?
Yeah, do you go steal the guy at Kansas?
And who do you think you are, even if you do get a new head coach? Where do you think you're going?
You're going to be better than that?
Accept your nice bowl game and move along. Seriously.
Correct.
I tell you what, if I'm looking for a good coach, any program, I'm calling Chryst.
No doubt about it. He's 56. He'll want another bite at the apple, but he comes home one day from work. What, Sunday? Honey, wow, got home early. I got fired. What? They're giving me $11 million by February. We're good.
Okay. Turks and Caicos, here we come.
Yep. Why don't you book a month down at the Waimara? That's a really nice resort down there.
Nobody knows who I am, so TMZ won't care.
Correct.
All right, what else we got, JC?
Sterling Shepard, who missed last week's game with a torn ACL, suffered in the previous week, was fined $10,000 by the NFL this weekend for leaving the bench after a late hit to QB Daniel Jones in the game against Dallas. So season-ending surgery plus a 10K fine.
Ooh.
Hurt and a fine.
Yeah, it happened before he got injured.
Yeah, well, that stinks. That's bad. That's bad. Yeah. Well, you know what you want.
He makes millions. Whatever.
Yeah, but you don't hate to get injured.
The injury part is bad, but that happened in the Dallas game. So that's actually not this past weekend. So he actually doesn't qualify.
Well, the ruling came down this past weekend.
The $10,000. Yeah. He makes millions. Whatever. No, he has no shot at winning.
All right. What's next?
DK Metcalf had a bathroom incident over the weekend. DK Metcalf on Sunday's game against the Seahawks. Lions, he was carted off in the fourth quarter. Not for an injury, because he had to use the bathroom.
You know what? This will end. This will not happen again. The NFL cannot allow the cart guy to take a guy off just because he's got a deuce. Oh, God! Better!
All right, run the fly pattern. I'm way lighter now. I'll be flying down there.
That can't happen. You do the poop perp walk.
You That's do the doo-doo.
Well, he did tweet out that clinch walk wouldn't have made it.
Do like Cap. Do. And you cannot use that equipment for that situation. Sorry. Run. Seriously. He's sitting on the cart like he's, you know, like he's injured. Is that injured? Right?
Kind of was injured.
Oh, stop.
Like the sigmoid colon had a little issue.
Sigmoid?
Yeah.
Did you have breakfast with the sigmoids?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. They're boring.
The sigmoids, you say?
Yeah. I have no issue that he used the cart.
No
rather
shot.
Than have a bathroom accident right there on the sideline.
You don't have a problem with the cart, but then I suggest for Tiger to use the cart, and you say no.
No, because that's part of the sport.
Well, Casey.
Casey Martin was a golfer, and part of it is the stamina of being able to walk 18 holes for four straight days up and down hills and take a tough shot, all that.
Tiger.
Sorry.
I mean, Tiger in a tough spot. I think he deserved to have the card.
No.
Why?
Because it's part of the sport. He would tell you the same thing.
But Casey.
Sorry.
Okay. That guy should not. Look, for something serious, I understand. Like what happened to Tua, you know, get the gurney out. You know, like, that's how you do it, right? But for someone that's got to go to the bathroom, run. Run. What is this?
I had no problem with it.
Come on, Cap. Be a man. Perp walk. He should do the perp poop walk. Excuse me. Pardon me. That's how that should work. All right. What else do we have?
All right. Over the weekend, competitive fishing gets heated after top competitor discovered with weights and Filet-O-Fish stuffed inside its catches.
Wait a minute. Now tell me about this.
Apparently, there was a fishing contest, which I think it's so overrated.
Fishing contest? Who's rating it to make it overrated?
Well, people, I've talked to people who fish, like my father-in-law. And I said, it's all luck, man. Maybe landing the fish and finally doing a good job reeling it in. But just get in the right fishing area, and the fish are nibbling, and throw the lure out there, and you're going to get your fish.
Okay,
whatever.
Chauncey's not going to be happy with that commentary, but go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. Take that, Chauncey. So apparently,
hey,
this guy had
me in a hammock.
led little weights, and you compete for a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of prizes on the weight of your fish.
Yes.
So he would stuff these little weights into the mouth of the fish, and then they weigh it and go, wow. This walleye weighs 30 pounds. Man.
That seems a bit much.
The video in question is unbelievable. They show the people cutting the fish open and pulling the weights out and dropping them in this crate. And everyone is yelling and cursing. This guy, I mean, you make a good living. Sponsors, these things are not cheap.
No, boats, they're not.
They're fish. All that stuff costs money. And these all the sponsors from the fish they catch pay for that. This guy's cheating everybody standing there, so they're all very angry.
Filet of fish, you said. Just
it was literally chopped up slices of fish stuffed inside the other fish. The guy's pulling it out. He's like, look, it looks like a chicken breast, literally inside the fish. Like, oh yeah, this is natural. People are yelling and cursing. It's unreal.
It's not the McDonald's filet of fish.
No.
Correct.
No,
it's not just the McDonald's filet of fish. Correct. Fish.
Could you imagine them sticking like a number four into the fish and fries?
Right. Value meal.
Why is there chocolate shake in this fish?
Yeah. So we'll put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. Who had the worst weekend? JC, let's put that up there, and then we'll vote all together on who had the worst weekend.
And we also had one more late entry, too.
Honestly, you only got four choices on Twitter.
Hey, one more late entry. Last night, the fan who ran onto the field and got absolutely leveled by Bobby Wagner.
Well, he did get destroyed.
He did.
Ditka did that when he played.
Now, is that a gender reveal? Because it was pink. It was pink.
It was pink, yeah.
Yeah. That's just stupid. I'm glad the player lit him up. Usually the security would do that behind closed doors.
Correct.
I'm glad that guy got lit up.
I'm sure your daughter will be proud.
Yeah. Like it's pink. It's a girl. Bam!
Take that.
Idiot. Sorry. Put that on the poll and see who wins.
I think that guy wins.
Because he's an idiot. All right, the Kansas Jayhawk is going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute, and we're going to hear from Jesse Rogers at 9:35. Yeah.
We gave him the over on Kansas.
Well, there's more money to be made besides Kansas, you know. Danny's going to put money in your pocket. We're going to hear from Jesse coming up at 9:35.
Wisconsin.
All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Wow. Wow.
Basketball tonight. You going to watch?
Bulls?
Bulls. NBC Sports Chicago, 8:30 tonight. Lock it in. Let's go. I want to watch Goran Dragic.
You know, I've seen three NBA games already.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one.
Yeah, seen three already. that's how I'm into it. We're about 13 days away from NBA tip-off.
Pretty close.
God, where's the time gone?
I'm locked in, 8:30 tonight. There's my Adam. There's Amin, by the way, is on with Carmen York at 1 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls tonight. I want to watch, see how Zach's moving.
Yeah.
I interviewed him at Media Day. He said he's feeling 100%. And I want to see how Goran Dragic looks.
Greeny will be here at 10 o'clock, followed by Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Bleck and Abdallah will lead you into White Sox baseball against the Twins. Jesse Rogers loves his sports, including the Bulls. He's with us here to talk baseball on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jess.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
Well, you know how I'm doing.
What up, Jesse?
I'm a little melancholy. And I tell you why. Because as we've been talking about this morning, Tony was the first manager I remember as a kid,
mm-hmm,
with the White Sox. And Tony 2.0 was just not the same guy I saw from the A's in St. Louis. So how would you look at Tony La Russa's time here? You covered him. What did you think of him this time around?
Yeah, I think actually yesterday even crystallized it more, and it's something I think we all kind of believed all year long. He did have a good connection with his players. He always has had that. McGuire, Pujols, Yadi Molina, this group. And that was crystallized yesterday. They showed up for his press conference. I know you could say, oh, well, that doesn't. But I do think it's important to note that. They were there for him in the back room. Miguel Cairo was in tears after the game, talking about Tony's influence. But at the same time, what made him special in that respect this time around, I think also was a detriment. I think he bent over backwards. We've talked about this all year, to connect with them, but then did not hold them accountable. Liam Hendricks yesterday in the dugouts was asked, what kind of manager do you want or need? He said, I think we need an authoritarian. An authoritarian? What player ever says that? Not very often.
Sounds like Joe Girardi to me.
Well, maybe. So no, I think what made him special in one way, still special even after all these years, connecting with players, I think also was a detriment. And look, yes, not every player on every team he's managed loved him. Every player rolls their eyes at their manager often. I mean, there were relievers back in the day that complained about his usage. That's all. That happens everywhere. Madden, Girardi, Ross, players roll their eyes. But connecting with players is important. And he made sure to do that after a decade away. But I think he went too far. He did not. He was more of a bench coach to them, I felt like, than a manager that would hold them accountable.
In terms of the search process, if Rick identifies whoever it is, and that's who he wants, does he get to hire who he wants since he's the GM and he takes all the hits when things don't go well? Or no, Kenny gets his say and Jerry gets his say, and if they don't like who Rick wants, Rick doesn't get who Rick wants?
Well, as he said yesterday, it is collaborative, which is the case on all teams. But, of course, someone has to make the final call.
Correct.
Theo certainly did with the Cubs back in the day. I think it's Han. It's either Han or Kenny. I think Jerry's out of this other than signing off. I mean, there was a one-time thing with Tony. Unless there's someone else he has lunch with at Goldman's in Scottsdale, Arizona, I don't think Jerry's making the next hire. I think you guys believe that as well. This was a unique thing with Tony and the friendship and going back to the firing him the first time. Yeah, I think it's Kenny and Rick. I mean, combined. He was asked who the tiebreaker is. I think most of the time organizations sort of agree on who the guy should be, other than maybe the one time with Tony La Russa. So yes, the short answer is I think Rick with Kenny are going to get their man. They're going to agree on who that person is. And it's real interesting. If you believe what Rick said about the qualifications, the field is narrowed right away. Someone in the dugout recent experience in the dugout, manager or perhaps bench coach, base coach, something like that, with a contending team. And so I think it automatically sort of narrows the field if you want to talk about that. The first name I put in my article today was Davey Martinez. He checks all the boxes, but now he's under contract for one more year. There's other names as well, but go ahead, J.O.
Yeah, I just want to promote your column. It's on ESPN.com, the top candidates to replace Tony La Russa as White Sox manager. Now, Cap and I both had five or seven names. We didn't have Davey Martinez on the list. Tell us more about Davey and why the former Sox and Cub could fit.
Well, manager with experience, won a championship.
Winner, yep.
Winner. More than likely would be let go from Washington. They're rebuilding there. They're selling the team. Has some familiarity with Chicago, right, which is good. He played for the White Sox, but he's not in that White Sox family, which Rick kind of said, we're going to go outside our family. Like, you know, AJ and Ozzie are in the family. I don't think Davey would be eliminated for that. So he's a name that checks the boxes. Joe Espada, the bench coach of the Astros, checks the boxes. Matt Contraro of the Rays, bench coach, checks the boxes. Now, I don't think it's a big deal not to have big league manager experience these days. If you're in that dugout for a championship caliber team or organization, I think you learn enough. Espada, championship team, was with AJ Hinch, then with Dusty Baker, learning under them. Quattraro with a team that didn't have much payroll.
What championship did Joe Espada win?
He was he with the Astros.
Oh, the one they stole. Okay, go ahead.
Well, whatever.
They are not the champions.
They were only the best team in the league this year. They were only in the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. So come on, you got to give that organization a little credit since the cheating scandal. If you don't want to give it to them before the cheating scandal,
that's right.
I think Sandy Alomar Jr. checks some boxes. Winning organization. The Guardians have been good. He's interviewed before. So I think the field is already narrow. Like, I think you can cross off Don Mattingly. I think you can cross off Joe Girardi. He hasn't had recent winning experience. He just got fired. Joe Maddon just got fired. So I think the field gets narrowed based on Hahn's qualifications if he doesn't waver from them. So that's my thought on that.
Joe won a World Series 6 years ago, and he had a team in the playoffs in 2019.
All right, Cap, that's enough of Girardi.
Crying out loud.
I don't want a guy fighting with Tim Anderson.
No, it's about Maddon.
Oh, Maddon? Oh, get out of here.
I'm not saying I'd hire him. I'm just saying to you, he has recent experience as being a very good man.
Oh, I could just see this. Jesse, I could just see it now. I could just see it now. Jerry walks out there. You know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, what's going on with the ball club? Hey, we got animals. I cut my hair. Look at that. I've got a mohawk just for the momentum.
Yeah, I don't
no
think
No shot. That doesn't work on the South Side. That's silly crap.
The one thing I regret... The one thing I regret not asking Hahn yesterday, and nobody else asked him either, is the idea of the connection to the Latin players on the team. Do you need specifically a Latin American manager? Do you need someone that can connect better with the Spanish-only speaking players or the Cuban players in particular? I think these are legitimate type questions. I forgot to ask Hahn about that. And that's why I mentioned, you know, whether it be Davey, whether it be Joe Espada, you know, one of these guys that has that. You don't have to have it, but I wonder if that just helps those candidates
a little
bit more.
His name is Ozzie Guillen.
Look, I'd have no problem with it. I'd have no problem with
That'd
it.
That'd be
that's
awesome.
Not happening. I'd have no problem with it.
Again, but we know the logistics in the inside with Ozzie.
Yeah.
His family would prefer him to stay home. And once again, in this situation, you hire the icon, you have to fire the icon at some point, right? I mean.
Well, they did it once.
Yeah.
You know, so to speak. So, look, I think that Hahn specifically said we're looking for voices outside the family for a reason, to cut off all that talk. But I think that's a good thing, too. I mean, I think half the reason the Cubs interviewed Joe Espada back a few years ago is just to learn about what the Astros do and how the Astros do things despite the cheating. So I like the idea of bringing in a new voice from a winning organization, whoever that might be, instead of the same old, same old. And I'll give Rick Hahn credit. I will say this. Look, here's a backhanded compliment, but it's still a compliment. I went into that with low expectations yesterday. I really did. And I think Rick did a very good job. He was humble. He acknowledged everything that we've been seeing and talking about all year long, even questioned his own abilities, or you know, so to speak, looked in the mirror. and admitted to the mistakes they've made. The one thing I didn't agree with, the one thing, is he said the last 6 months exposed areas of our team that we need to fix. But I will tell you, going back to last offseason, we talked about the lack of left-handed hitting and balance in the lineup. We talked about the potential problems on defense. So I didn't need the last 6 months to know that. Apparently they did. But we saw this last offseason and in the playoffs, you know, or last season and in the playoffs, how they were exposed despite winning the division. So that was the only thing. I'm like, really? You needed the last 6 months to know you didn't have balance? Other than that, I liked how Rick Hahn comported himself yesterday.
Well, Jesse, what Rick Hahn said, I could hear at Reggie's Loop Club. I could hear that at Sox Fest. I want to see is results. Like, he always falls on his sword. I mean, that's typical Rick Hahn. But point is, though, is that if you're not making changes, not wholesale changes, but tweaking this roster for it to be fine-tuned for the playoffs, then it's just all rhetoric. It's just talk. That's not good
enough. Yeah, you're right. Talk is cheap. There's no doubt about it. I guess I'm glad that he didn't get a little defensive and use injuries more as an excuse. I thought that was possible. Again, I had lower expectations. So at least he didn't fall on the, oh, it's the injuries. He didn't. So you're right, though. All this is talk. They've got to go out and fix it.
Jesse, have a great day.
Okay, boys. Talk to you later.
See ya. There's Jesse Rogers. Read his column on ESPN.com regarding candidates for the White Sox job.
You got it. We have the Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day for Kappa J Hood. That's coming up.
Back after this.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Mike Greenberg coming up at 10 here on ESPN 1000. And Chicago's home for the Chicago White Sox will have the game for you at 6:30 with the pregame, 7:10 first pitch right here on ESPN 1000. Cap, will you win your bet with Yurko on the Cubs win total? That's a thing, is it not?
It is. I got to find out what number he and I had it at. I'll have to go pull the tape up.
Uh-huh.
It's right there. So, Johnny, text me if you remember the number that we're at, or I will have my people go through the tapes.
Because it was a photo finish, right? 73 wins right now for the Cubs.
Correct.
What did you say? 75?
I thought I said 70, over 74. But I have to, Yurko would have the number.
Yeah, and if so, you win a bunch of money, I think. There's going to be some cash.
Yes, cash will be coming one of our ways.
That's going to be great. That's going to be great, Cap. 73 wins. That's not what I expected. I expected a 95 loss ball club. But look at them, rallying.
The Chicago Cubs, let's see. I may have already clinched, but I have to look.
Maybe it's over 70 wins. So we'll keep our eyes on that.
Yeah, we'll check.
Today, we will look at the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day. It's going to be good.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Try the, why don't you go with the Dover Sole they do at Tableside. Oh, my God, is it good.
In Delaware? Go ahead, JR.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Bucks.
Oh!
Whatever.
Delaware.
It's not boring.
Bucks. Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
The herpetologist.
He's a herpetologist.
So he has herpes.
Or he's an expert in snakes.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
On the ESPN Chicago app, here's Justin in Canton, Ohio on ESPN 1000. Hey, Justin.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Listen to you guys every day.
Appreciate you.
At work. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Cubs. I think you guys were talking about there's going to be a drought as far as like teams being good in Chicago. I think the Cubs could be the next great one. I think if they just sign like a Carlos Rodon and one of the three shortstops, they got a top 10 minor league system to supplement or bring up, and they got a lot of depth in pitching, and I think they can make the playoffs next year if they just spend some money.
I hope you're right. I think they can be a vastly improved team because they're in a division that's eminently winnable. But again, I keep hearing they're going to spend money. I'll believe it when I see it. that they go out and get either Bogarts, Correa, Trey Turner, and then they go out and get a top flight number one starter. I think they might. I'm hearing they will. Prove it.
And Judge.
Done.
And Judge.
Done.
By the way, has he hit 62 yet? Did he hit the number yet?
Not yet.
So ridiculous. So ridiculous. Stop interrupting my college football for this nonsense. Right in the middle of classic calls or great games, here's Aaron Judge walking. Right in the middle. Cap. Hit 62 and move on. Who cares?
By the way, Yurko just texted. 74.
Ah.
So we push. If the Cubs win one of the next two, if they lose both, he wins. And if they hit both, I win.
Okay. All right. So there's something to look forward to. A photo finish here at the end. Should be interesting.
How about that?
So you're going to really be rooting for the Cubs now.
Oh, man.
That's impressive. You guys picked that at the beginning of the year. It comes down to the last two games. That's a good line set right there.
That? See, that's fun.
It was a decent amount of money.
I was here for that.
Was it $100, right? A little, crisp C note.
A little higher than that.
Was it higher?
Yep. I know that there's a small white van with the reel-to-reel rolling outside, so I don't want to give you the number because the tax man's out there.
Right.
I don't want to...
I think it was 100.
Okay. Just be careful. So,
anyway, Johnny, good luck, kid.
Enough of Aaron Judge interrupting my college football, by the
Stop.
Way.
Stop! It's a big thing.
For who? For Roger Maris Jr.?
Oh, yeah, because we got to make sure we don't miss the dramatic ending of that Missouri-Georgia game. Oh, God.
You goddamn right. That's right. That's exactly right, pal. And there's Merck in there, the Wisconsin fan. Who do you think you're getting, pal?
By the way, Danny Mack texted us that Purdue's the same way. Two of the most arrogant fan bases, then.
Arrogant.
Purdue and Wisconsin. Who do you think you are? You're Purdue and Wisconsin.
Arrogant, you said.
I mean, my God.
We thank you for...
We got to fire Paul Chryst. Heaven forbid, he's 5-1 in bowl games. You won't get a coach who'll come half as close as what that guy did.
Thank you for listening and
Dumbass
twitching.
Badgers.
And calling in. Thank you, JR. Thank you, JC. For CAF, I'm Jay Hood. Let's do this tomorrow at 7 right here on ESPN 1000. So long, everybody. From Chicago.